Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, August the 14th in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got a great show for you tonight. The topic is ADHD rules for effective incentives. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Abigail Lavrini. Before we get into some stuff, just a reminder, we have two sister stations to Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk Video, which is a video talk show. You can find that at attentiontalkvideo.com. And Attention Talk News, our subscription-based newsletter that reports everything that's going on Attention Talk Video, Attention Talk Radio. Plus, we have guest writers, other podcasts, and other videos. So check those out. Of course, if you want to see it all consolidated in one place, just go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. I did notice I didn't give the URL for Attention Talk News, and that's attentiontalknews.com, and you can go sign up for our subscription there. A reminder, the CHADS Regional Conference is coming up in Dallas, September the 21st of this year. For more information on that, just go to the CHADD website at chadd.org. And also, as a reminder, the annual CHADD, the national conference, is going to be in the D.C. area this year from November the 7th to the 9th. Again, for information on that, go to chadd.org. I know that I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. Last year it was on the West Coast at San Francisco. Now we're bringing it back over here. And this is actually kind of near and dear to our guest tonight, because I think she lives in the area as well. I think that is all of our announcements. So let's get into the meat of the show. Again, today we have Dr. Abigail Lavrini, who is a licensed clinical psychologist and ADHD specialist with a nearly decade of experience as an ADHD coach and counselor. She's published numerous scientific articles on ADHD and presented her coaching model in professional settings throughout the country. She's a reoccurring speaker for CHADD and served on the board as a board president for the D.C. Northern Virginia chapter of CHADD from the year 2009 to 2012. She's been a feature expert on Ask the Doctor podcast of the National Alliance of Mental Health and is the co-author of the best-selling book Succeeding with Adult ADHD, Daily Strategies to Help You Achieve Your Goals and Manage Your Life. And with that, Dr. Lavrini, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. Great to be here.
This show is, to tee this up, one of the things I always like to do is kind of, you know, we talk about a lot of concepts here at Attention Talk Radio. We pay attention to attention, and many times we're really kind of talking about things that are very, very similar, but the contexts are very different. And I can't help but refer to a show that we did back in February of 2010 with Dr. Sidney Zintal of Purdue University, and the focus of that show was friendly class and home settings with ADHD children. And one of the things that I learned from that interview was when you're working with kids in a setting and you want you're helping them learn or digest some stuff, and you're telling stories and using metaphors, that it really gets their attention if you go to an extreme. If it's kind of sick or disgusting or high drama, that stimulation really tries to kind of sticks with them a little bit and helps them learn and kind of stand out. And today, I think we're here to talk about effective incentives, and we're going to be kind of creative and talking about some rules that you have for setting these incentives. But what's interesting to me is how some of the examples I think we're going to give is really going to stand out and be very stimulating, either positive or negative way. So with that, Dr. Lavrini, can you just talk about your philosophy in this, and then we'll talk about your rules and kind of get into things.
Sure. You know, a good place to start is to just touch a little bit on Russell Barkley's self-regulation theory. You know, love him or hate him, he's a really bright guy, and he's got something here. And basically what he states is that the critical deficit associated with ADHD is that the failure to develop the capacity for self-control, and that problems with attention, which a lot of times we're focusing on, are actually secondary. So when you think about a normal individual as they develop and mature, control of behavior gradually shifts from external sources to a set of internal rules and standards. So this is why young children, you know, with or without ADHD, typically act on impulses rather than presented, unless they're presented, with an external external reinforcer in the form of a punishment or a reward. So let's say, for example, Timmy, he's 3 years old, doesn't have ADHD. He hits his baby brother Toby when he catches Toby using his favorite toy truck. So Timmy's mom then tells him that if he hits Toby again, he's going to have a timeout. On the other hand, if he plays nicely with his brother for the next 20 minutes, they'll all have ice cream. So he's able then to suppress that impulse to hit Toby, and his sense of self-control is governed by external factors, those ones that his mom presented in the form of a timeout or ice cream. Okay, so now let's imagine that Timmy's 14 and Toby's taken his laptop without permission. Timmy's initial thought may be to give his brother a good smack or something like that. But instead, this time he refrains because even though his mom isn't around, no external factors have been presented to him, but his inner monologue might say something like, you know, if I hit Timmy, I'm going to hurt him, and I love my brother, so I don't want him to hurt. Also, my mom and dad would probably be upset with me, and I don't want to disappoint my parents. I'm not going to solve anything by hitting him, so, you know, I'm just going to go talk to him instead. So Timmy's learned to inhibit his behavior on the basis of a set of internal controls or guidelines. So let's bring that back to ADHD. The theory is that this internal sense doesn't develop naturally. It's therefore our jobs as coaches and therapists to help encourage and teach this internal sense of self-control and then furthermore enhance motivation. So we can do this in a few ways, one of which is by creating an effective incentive system consisting of rewards and consequences, just like we might with young children. But even with adults, we can do that too.
What you just said was brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, absolutely brilliant. So if you don't mind, can we just kind of deconstruct some of that stuff a little bit?
Sure.
There was a lot of important practical things that I think that you outlined. We did do an interview with Dr. Barkley on his executive function deficit disorder theory in March of 2012. Feel free to go back and listen to it. If you've listened to the show out there, you know I'm a big fan of this. And as you had described, it's a self-regulation issue. And I like what you said that, you know, attention is really kind of a secondary thing. And in our interview with him, he talked about, you know, kids when they're young, they play externally, which, as I've begun to learn, is external play. There's lots of organizations like sequencing. It's all external. It becomes privatized. And even though our language, when your kids, they actually talk out loud when they play, and it becomes privatized. And I really loved how you referred to it as like the internal monologue, and that a lot of times they need help inhibiting that internal stuff, and we're kind of helping them, teaching them a level of self-control. And we've covered so many times on this show the power to the pause. It's that moment where you kind of catch yourself and you pause, because if you could just pause, you're now at choice, and you can change or regulate what you're doing as a result of it. So the theory behind what you've described really makes a lot of sense, at least from those that we have interviewed. And it really, I mean, everybody's talking out of the same hymnal. And so, again, I just kind of want to pause and highlight that because it really makes a lot of sense to me in theory.
You're exactly right.
You actually have some rules and some guidelines that kind of define these external things. We kind of talk about that for a little bit, and then we can kind of go to a break, and we come back, and we can talk about some practical applications.
Sure, that sounds great. And just briefly, before I launch into that, I know you've talked a lot about also that sometimes it can be just as effective to set up a system that works with your strengths that are already in existence. One example, you know, would be to do something with a friend if you find that if you commit to something, you are better able to follow through. And I think that those strategies are extremely valuable and helpful a lot of the time. But when incentives come into play is when that isn't necessarily enough. So sometimes we will set in up a plan that consists of something like that, but maybe, let's say, you don't have the option of using a friend, or your friend cancels on you, or sometimes school or a job requires things that you aren't good at, and there's no way around it, really. Yep. Also, sometimes things can get boring and stop working, so we have to mix it up a little bit. So that's when you would start to use incentives. So I just wanted to kind of briefly go over that for those people that might kind of think, you know, I don't really need that.
Actually, do you mind if we expand upon that a little bit?
Sure.
In my own coaching practice, because you have a really good point, so when you talk about strengths and stuff like that, I know a lot of people I'll coach sometimes, and they're trying to move forward. This is not for everybody, but commonly, those with ADD will struggle with repetitive and boring routine tasks. And I found
mm-hmm.
many, not all, can do those things in the company of another person. So mm-hmm. when I'm working with them, naturally, a lot of times what we'll do is saying, okay, rather than doing this the hard way, why not think in terms of creating the environment where you're doing this with somebody else, because if that becomes easy for you, incentives really aren't necessarily needed because the environment is conducive for you to do that. So
mm-hmm.
that's what something like that would look like, and certainly to me that's a little bit easier, but you really have a good point. Sometimes there's these little things that you kind of get boxed in, and you really need that incentive. One of the things that I've learned coaching entrepreneurs in particular, as many of them are actually reactive by nature. They're not necessarily proactive. And while
mm-hmm.
they might have certain tasks around the office and stuff that they need to do, that they can do in the company of somebody else, that notion of being forward-thinking in their business, they'll have a tendency to deal with a customer that kind of comes in the door and put off marketing stuff to get to customers they want to. And multiple times I've worked with some people where they've got to go find somebody or hire somebody to bring in that they can interact with on a daily basis so they can react to it. And because they don't have anybody there, they're now in a situation where they need to create that environment, but it's not natural for them. And setting up incentives in this particular situation is a really viable thing to kind of get them to where they need to be in that environment so that they can be who they are, if that makes some sense.
That makes a whole lot of sense. And along those lines, I wanted to add in my own research and studies, we found that, funny enough, that a lot of the people that were the most kind of, you know, didn't think this was going to work, that kind of, you know, laughed at the idea of using incentives at the outset, oftentimes found them the most helpful and useful at the end.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I want to just,
yep.
I can't help it, but I have to tell this story real quick. We'll go to break, and when we come back, we'll kind of hit on the rules. But we interviewed Nancy Rady a couple years ago on her book, The Disorganized Mind. And we talked about the book at the beginning, but the end of it was really kind of funny because I said, okay, Nancy, you have dyslexia and you have ADD. How the hell did you write a book? And if you listen to that, it's kind of funny because she actually had like 7 yards of sod delivered to her driveway, and she wanted to level out her backyard. She lived in Massachusetts, which I don't know if you can even level out your backyard, but she would tell these stories about how she wrote a book, then she could go like move a yard of sod and kind of stick it out there, or how she used to go to the park with a laptop and 2 batteries, and, you know, she had to be done with a chapter by the time the batteries ran out. And, you know, it's just, again, just to kind of preview this, is that those were incentives that she used that were kind of fun. And the show was like, okay, she wrote this book, which is great, but here's the fun part of how she actually got herself to write the book, which is a lot of fun. If anyone wants to go listen to it, I think it was like July of 2010 or something like that. So let's go to break, and we come back, and we'll come back and we'll kind of talk about your rules for incentives. Before we do that, your book, Succeeding with Adult ADHD, Daily Strategies to Help You Achieve Your Goals and Manage Your Life. Dr. Levere, they can get that off of Amazon.com or just Googling. Is that?
They can get it on Amazon.com, correct. They can also get it at APA.org. That's the American Psychological Association website. It's APA.org/pubs/books/life tools, and it's a top seller on the APA site as well as Amazon.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's Regional Education Conference on ADHD that will be held Saturday, September 21st at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel, Dallas, Texas. Details about the regional conference are available on our new website at chad.com. Don't miss this chance to become an exhibitor and sponsor at this regional event.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Abigail Larini, talking about ADHD rules for effective incentives. And one thing that I think that didn't mention at the beginning, but you'll actually be presenting at this year's CHAD conference in D.C., right?
I will. I will be there talking about time management techniques and overcoming fear and procrastination.
Awesome, awesome. So everybody, make sure you go and check that out when you're there. You've got a list of rules for effective incentives. Can you walk us through those a little bit?
Sure, I would be happy to. And these are all in the book Succeeding with Adult ADHD as well. So if you need more information on them, they can your viewers can go there. So the first one is to be complimentary. So what I mean by that is if you've created a objective or a goal that, say, is to promote healthy living, let's say you have a goal to complete a certain amount of exercise per week. And again, going back to the idea of using what works for you already, this goal in and of itself might include a strategy to exercise with a partner or something like that. So you've already added in the idea of what's going to be helpful in terms of where you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
So the incentives, in my practice, we refer to them as rewards and consequences. I don't like to use the word punishment. I think it's a little tough. So let's say with an exercise goal, your consequence is to not have that nightly bowl of ice cream, and your reward is to have that bowl of ice cream, or maybe even better than that, we might say have a healthy smoothie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the idea there is we found that it's more effective and powerful when an incentive, it complements the goal, when it's related to the goal. So along those lines, another idea might be, let's say you have a budgeting goal, you're trying to save money. I've had clients who, if they don't follow through with that budgeting goal, they have to give to charity to can still spend money responsibly, but it's, hindering their ability to save their own money. So, again, the financial goal related to giving to a charity. And a fun story along those lines is, it works really well, is I often have clients, let's say you're a tree-hugging vegetarian and you don't meet your financial goal for that week, the charity you might have to give to maybe the National Rifle Association or something along those lines. So you're having to give your charity that really, fundamentally you disagree with, but you're still helping and doing some good.
I love that story because I myself was coaching somebody one time in similar space. I can't remember if the goal was strictly financial. It was relatively close, and this person was a staunch Democrat. And the notion is if he didn't do it, he had to send $100 to the Republican Party. And if he did do it, he could make the contribution. And what was interesting to me was bad enough to write the $100. But as I reminded him, if he actually did it, he'd actually be on their mailing list and get all their mail. it was the fear of God was put in that point in time. It was bad enough to give him the money, but nobody knew that. But the avalanche of mail that he received kind of coming in. So with that being said, this one is you're defining a goal. But when you talk about reward and consequence, is there both sides of it? Like, in other words, I get to make a contribution to the Democratic Party if I achieve it, or if I don't, I've got to. So you work in tandem. Is that accurate reflection of how this works?
I do. Well, what I usually suggest is to start with both and see what works. And actually, that is that's a really good segue into the second rule. Because the second rule is to try one, try both, or maybe none, and see what works. So if somebody comes in and let's say that they really are like, I don't need to use this. I'm pretty sure that I can do it on my own. I'll say, okay, let's try it your way and see what happens. Most of the time I will say that they usually do struggle from the start when we don't use them because it's usually if they haven't been doing it already, what's going to change, when they walk in the door. So, but we follow. Sometimes people are more motivated by rewards, and then some people are more motivated by consequences. So that's also kind of, you have to figure that piece out. One little cautionary word of advice I give is my clients, 99% don't just have ADHD. There's often a comorbid issue with anxiety or depression or something like that. So when a client is highly anxious, a lot of times consequences and sometimes even rewards can actually increase the anxiety because they might see it just as another thing that they have to do. So you do have to be a little bit careful and just try and see what works for you. But also don't jump to conclusions that if it isn't working, that it's not for you because that reward or consequence might just not be salient or heavy enough for you to have an impact. It might just be the wrong one. So you have to play with it a little bit.
What I just absolutely adore about what you said is that, you know, coaching or I speak with the coaching voice because that's my background is you got to meet them where they are. And not every what I like about this is for some people, rewards aren't there. It's really about consequences and vice versa. But also, you know, sometimes it might the reward or consequence picked, it might not be that. And at the same time, adding these things could actually increase anxiety. So at the end of the day, you have to play around with this a little bit to find out what works individually for you because what's obvious for one person might not necessarily be obvious to the other. So there's these guidelines that you're putting in, but at the end of the way, we still always have to adapt this to the individual person we're working with.
Exactly. You know, I've had clients who, they say, well, I reward myself enough already. You know, when you tend to be impulsive and act on those impulses, you know, you might be rewarding yourself all the time. So those people might veer more towards consequences. And then I have other people who are very hard on themselves and don't give themselves enough credit. So it's the other way around, and those rewards can actually help to, by making it black and white and checking off that they have completed a goal and fulfilled a reward, it can have a greater purpose in increasing their self-esteem and confidence.
Awesome. How about rule number three?
Okay, so this one's pretty simple, I would say, but it's important to point out as well, and that's the sooner the better. So when somebody comes in and they have an idea of going to the movies on Friday night, if they complete all their laundry on Monday night, it's probably not going to be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you can do that reward or consequence, the more effective it's going to be. So instead of delaying to go to the movie on Friday night, maybe you pop in a DVD that very night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as simple as it is. We know that in order to be most effective, it needs to be as quick as possible.
Well, I think one of the common words I've used that I like is it needs to happen at point of performance. The closer you can get that reward or whatever to that point of performance, the more effective it is because it's in the now. Because certainly, you know, those ADDers only have some of them just says now and not now, and now is now, not later.
Exactly. Yeah, and when there's a lot of times there's issues with working memory and things like that. So when that's an issue, it's going to be long forgotten by the time it rolls around.
Certainly. What's next on our list? Number four?
Okay. So number four is, this is where it gets kind of fun, and you mentioned this word earlier. Get creative. A lot of times people, I think the main reason that people object to the idea of rewards and consequences from the beginning is because they think that they've probably tried it and it hasn't worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I feel that this is because they haven't been creative enough. So, you know, if you think of, like, a parent tends to think of, okay, I'm going to take away my child's cell phone, they're not going to watch TV, they're going to be grounded. These are all consequences that parents use.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, one, for a child, it's better if they have some say. But even when it comes to adults, it's important to have a little fun with it and be
mm-hmm.
creative. So the story I like to use here, of a couple, but my favorite is, we'll call her Patty. Patty had a neighbor who had a bunch of those tacky lawn ornaments in her yard.
Yep.
And she just hated this, and she would come in kind of ranting about it on a weekly basis. Well, over time, she kind of befriended this neighbor and was a pretty honest person, and they had some discussions about it and some laughs over it. And so what came to be is that if Patty did not fulfill her objective that week, she had to take a tacky lawn ornament from her neighbor's yard and put it in her own yard. So this was extremely embarrassing to her, and it really worked for her. And then on the other hand, her neighbor actually wanted to help and support her as well, so she agreed that if Patty did meet her goal as a reward, she would remove one of those from her own yard and put it away in her garage. So that's a really creative way to use incentives. And along those lines, and another client that always came in looking very, very nice, it was a female and always had her makeup and her hair perfect. So what we used for her was when she did not complete an objective, she had to go to work that next day without makeup. And if she did, she could treat herself to getting her nails done or spa treatment. So it's kind of along the lines of what you said in terms of using what works for you.
Yep.
You know, you don't try to fight it. You use what's effective. So if you're somebody who values makeup, you know, and that's a good word, you know, what do you value?
Yep.
And use that. I thought of earlier when you were talking about your client who didn't want to get the Republican junk mail and whatnot.
Yep.
You know, maybe he sticks a Republican bumper sticker on his car, take it a
yep.
step further, something along those lines.
Well, I have to throw this one in here, and after we do this, we need to run commercial break, but I remember years ago, I grew up, I was Indiana swimmer, basketball was team Bobby Knight, blah, 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 and, you know, it's funny because every once in a while, whenever I bet somebody on something like that, and I remember specifically Duke was playing Indiana in the Final Four or something, and I had some big Duke fans, or maybe they were Kentucky, I can't remember what it was, but I remember that the bet was the loser had to fly the winner's flag out front of their house for a week. And, you know, it's really kind of funny because that remembering that, and I lost, that flag out front of my house, I was like, oh, this is just, And I've actually done it a couple times around coaching some people in, you know, in the Florida area. You know, if you're a Gator, you don't want a null flag on the front of your house. And it's just a similar type of a thing. And what I like about this and highlighting it is creative because, you know, if it's not stimulating, if it's really, 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 really kind of boring, it doesn't catch the attention of those with ADHD. And you know, what I like about this is as funny is that if the consequences and incentives are boring, it's not going to get the attention. But if we can juice it up a little bit and kind of get creative, it makes it a little bit more exciting and seems to be more top of mind and probably a little bit more effective. So need to go to break again real quick. Your book is Succeeding with Adult ADHD, Daily Strategies to Help You Achieve Your Goals and Manage Your Life. Again, Amazon.com. And the other website was the APA.com website, right?
APA.org, yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, APA.org. Thank you for correcting me.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation tonight with Dr. Abigail Lurini on ADHD rules and effective incentives. Before the break, we were talking about the notion of kind of get creative, but I just want to kind of touch base on that. There are many out there with ADD, they're naturally creative. They get so many ideas, it just kind of comes to them all over the place. But still, sometimes when you got to say, listen, I need to be creative right now, everything kind of shuts down. And there's a coaching technique that I learned in getting trained at the Coaches Training Institute. They call it balance coaching. And oversimplifying it, and really oversimplifying, is sometimes if you're trying to come up with a creative idea, imagine yourself as like Marilyn Monroe or Barack Obama or aliens coming down from outer space or your brother Ned or anything, or a horse. And you begin to sit there and say, you know, what type of an incentive or consequence would they like? And you're really using those people or figures or animals as a way to step into, and hopefully you come up with some bizarre kind of crazy answer. And you write them all down, and when it's done, you take a look at what's there. And if you do enough of them, a lot of times you'll accidentally discover something really cool and creative just by imagining you're somebody else. And so I just share that out there for those who might have writer's block or creative kind of idea. It's just a fun little coaching tool that sometimes is effective to kind of get you out of that stuck feeling. So with that, what's our next rule on the list?
Along those lines, real quick, I wanted to, the one question I always throw out to people is when they're stuck like that, is what are you doing now instead of what you're supposed to be doing? You know, and that's a really easy way to figure out what it is you like, what you would like to reward yourself with, and what you gravitate towards. The client I was talking about before, who was constantly talking about her neighbor and how much it bugged her, well, that's where she was spending her time and energy. So turn it into something good that works for you.
Awesome. I love that. Awesome.
So okay. Number five, yeah, mm-hmm. We'll wrap it up. Number five kind of brings us full circle, and basically the rule here is this isn't a bribe. Basically, I say this because a lot, especially parents, come in and they say, well, if I'm just rewarding my child for this, you know, aren't I just kind of bribing them to do what they're supposed to be doing already? And so I've come back to the conversation about self-regulation. And we need to, for these individuals, kind of dangle that proverbial carrot. It's the carrot and stick, because that internal sense of self-regulation does not exist. Those connections have not been made. So the goal is, by using an external incentive at the outset, they can, over time, start to develop and internalize that through conversations about understanding what it is that is motivating them.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate goal, the goal isn't to forever and ever just, you know, reward behavior, but to eventually kind of start to internalize that sense of self-control, that sense of self-regulation that doesn't exist.
Wow. Big aha. So at the beginning of the show, you talked about, you know, inhibit the internal dialogue, and what we're trying to do is teach them self-control. And so often, going back to the Barker laws, is we do that externally. And by dangling that carrot externally, you're basically kind of conditioning them, kind of modeling that to them enough where after a while they start to get it, and it kind of starts to build in their own pause that we so long for those with ADHD to have. Because, again, when you're pausing, you're at choice, and you can move that stuff forward. So this is like, it's kind of patterning the behavior externally on a consistent basis for them to begin to get it and actually begin to teach them how to build that internal pause. The way I've articulated that, does that make some sense? Is that accurate to you?
That makes perfect sense. You said it great. Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, let's, you know, there's that old saying, fake it till you make it. So let's build the habit, if you will, over a period of time. And once we kind of get the habit, we can kind of remove some of these things. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, I've never looked at it in that light, but it really, when you think about it, it really makes a lot of sense. And going back to, I'm a big strengths-based person, and let's do that first, but there are times when these types of things are very appropriate and kind of help you move forward.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much of what we do in coaching. You know, I always tell people that I'm doing my job right if you fire me, basically, because my job isn't so much to get you through the current goals that you're working on, but to develop a toolbox of strategies for you so that you can take them and use them in other areas of your life and apply them going forward without my help.
Touche. Any last tidbits before we wrap this up?
I don't think so. I think we've hit on all of them. But, you know, if people want more information and help, and, you know, the book has a lot of self-help. It's a self-help-directed book, so it has a lot of exercises to kind of help you develop your own incentive system.
So I guess I want to just back up. In the big picture, what we know is that, or what we're learning and shifting attention, is that ADHD is not a deficit of attention. It's a self-regulation issue, which, by the way, explains why my kids can play computer games for hours on end. It's not attention of engaging their attention. It's actually stopping.
Mm-hmm.
But those things that are boring or more challenging and more difficult, if we can make them more stimulating, like earlier that notion of you've got to do something repetitive and boring, you can do it with a company or somebody else, that makes it stimulating. We certainly want to create those environments when we can, but there are times where it's more difficult. So bringing these incentives to the environment, if you will, are hopefully stimulating. And the notion of trying to get creative and work with the rewards consequences on an individual level to find out what works for you is trying to create that stimulation at the point of performance for you to do that over a period of time to condition yourself to build that habit for you to do it. At the end of the day, we're trying to help you move forward, and sometimes, again, it's just about doing a natural environment, but sometimes it's about using these incentives to kind of move that forward. And what I really, really, really like about what you've outlined is the notion of that, the wow, that excitement, the stuff. And as I had mentioned at the beginning, you know, I learned that from Dr. Sidney Zintal. You know, the more extreme you can make a story or metaphor, it's more it's going to stick in their mind. And I feel like the more extreme that we can get creative with these incentives, the more it's going to be sticking those with ADHD's mind and kind of pull them forward. So does that make sense to you? Anything else you want to add to that?
I think you did a great summary there. I was just going to one more time kind of wrap up the five rules.
Yes,
right there,
please.
For your listeners. So the first is to be complementary, to pair a reward and consequence with the particular objective and make it relate. The second is to try one or both or none and see what works, but to try and before jumping to conclusions of what isn't working, make sure it's the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
Next is the sooner the better, which you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta make sure that you complete that reward or consequence immediately following the objective. Then get creative. Number four, get creative. And number five, remember, this isn't a bribe. The goal is to internalize that sense of self-regulation.
Awesome. All this and more in your book, Succeeding with Adult ADHD, Daily Strategies to Help You Achieve Your Goal and Manage Your Life. With that, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Josh. It was great.
You have a website too, right? Psychcoaches.com?
I do. Psychedcoaches.com. We have multiple offices in the D.C. and Northern Virginia area. So it's psych like psychology, PSYCH, ED like education, and then coachesplural.com.
Awesome. And everybody, don't forget to check her presentation out at the CHAD conference this year if you go. Take care, everybody.